If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Tonight, we are having missionary Brother Hunter to the Philippines. We've supported Brother Hunter now many years. And I was telling the deacons this morning in our prayer meeting that reminded them that when Brother Hunter is Filipino, but he was born in America, but when he decided to go to college, he decided to go to the Philippines and go to college in the Philippines. And so he made his way over there and went through college. When he graduated from college, instead of coming back to America and raising money and going back to the Philippines to start churches, he just went out and started a church, making Filipino wages, which was next to nothing. I'm talking like $100 a month. And God blessed the ministry, and God grew that church. And so Brother Webster and some other missionaries, or other pastors from the States, was over there and met him and got to see the work he was doing and was saying, hey, you're an American. Why don't you come back to America and raise money and just imagine what you could do and how God could use you if you had more resources. And that's what he did. He came back to America. We were one of the first churches that had him in, and God has richly blessed that ministry. You're going to want to be here to see Brother Hunter and see the report from the ministry there in the Philippines. And what a privilege it is to support these missionaries. And I like the fact that the money was not his issue. And he was absolutely willing just to minister and preach in the Philippines on the wages that they make there. And of course, now God has used him so immensely now that he has the resources. And it's just an amazing, amazing ministry. So I hope you'll be here tonight for that. Psalm 63, this is a psalm of David. I want to remind you, I know most of you know this, but the psalms are songs. So this is a song that David wrote, King David wrote. All right, so look with me as we in Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm of David. We pray, Lord, that each of us again would be encouraged by it and strengthened by it. And Lord, again, we would praise you and thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. This, again, is a psalm of David. David is writing this, so the historians tell us, and it's marked this way, that he was writing this as he was fleeing Jerusalem from his son Absalom. If you remember the story, I'm not going to review it this morning. You can go read it this afternoon. It's found in 2 Samuel, chapter 15, 16, 17, 18. You can read about the story of David. Remember now, David was the king of Israel. David was the second king of Israel. Saul was the first king. He reigned 40 years. David became king. He reigned 40 years. And this is towards near the end of David's reign, and his son Absalom rose up against him. His son won the heart of the people through trickery and deceit, and therefore Absalom entered town with the army, his army, and David. Instead of David staying and fighting and having, you know, probably maybe the opportunity to defeat his son, David fled. He did not want to kill his son. In fact, later on in the story, you see that David told the soldiers, he told his army, when you find Absalom, do not touch him. Do not touch him. And they ended up killing him, and David was very upset, needless to say. By the way, Absalom died by getting hung by his hair on a tree, and he couldn't get down. And anyway, they shot him with arrows. You have to go read it. It's a cool story. The Bible's amazing. You know, it doesn't leave anything out. It was, you know, he took some arrows and shot him, and then got him down, and 10 others beat up on him, and it's a deal. But anyway, so the end of the message is, I read the back of the book, and we win. All right, so David wins in the end. But you got to remember, David doesn't know that. David is only now fleeing Jerusalem where he was the king. I mean, he's the man. He's sitting on the throne that God gave him. God, in fact, God promised David that he would sit on the throne, or his descendants would sit on the throne forever. And so David understood that, and that's one of the reasons why he could have the strength that he had. But again, this is a psalm of David as he was driven from the throne by his son Absalom. I do want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians. This is close to where our theme is found. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 is our theme. And my desire is still to preach this chapter. I'm going to do that at some point this year. But notice what Paul says in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Chapter 4 and verse 8. In verses 1 through 7, he's talking about the earthly ministry that God has given us, and this New Testament ministry and how awesome it is. And we preach not ourselves, he says there, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. In other words, God uses us. We're just cheap clay pots, but God uses us to spread his gospel, to spread the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, verse 8, then he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Jesus said himself these words. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. I know we're reminded of this a lot from the pulpit here, but in this world you shall have tribulation. Amen. But Jesus said to that same crowd, he said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And when the Lord came, he didn't promise a life without pain and suffering. He didn't promise us a life without trouble and sorrow. I think of Brother Dan this morning, losing his mother, and I lost my mother a couple years ago now, almost a year and a half ago or so. And God didn't promise us a world without sorrow. But he did say he'd be with us. He did say he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He did say that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave his life for us. And so we've been promised that peace and tranquility and contentment as we go through life. We also been promised victory at the end. And so we see this here, Paul just saying, listen, we are cast down, he says. In other words, we're cast down, we're not destroyed. That means we're cast down, but we're not out. It's really the same word as faint. We cast down, but we haven't been knocked out. We just, you know, if we faint, but we get back up. And God renews our strength. Knocked down, but not knocked out. That's the, if you would, the title of the message. David was certainly knocked down, but David was not knocked out. I love that. I love that about him. And here he is fleeing his city. He's the king. I mean, he's been sitting on the throne. He's the man. And yet, as he leaves Jerusalem, fleeing Jerusalem from his son Absalom, he writes this wonderful song. How did David deal with the trial? How did David deal with the suffering? That's what we're going to see this morning. Number one, how did he deal with it? He longed for God. He longed for God. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. I'm going to point this out because I just came, I don't know why this didn't come to me sooner, but that my soul is found three times in the psalm, and I'm going to divide up the message that way. My soul thirsteth for thee, verse 1. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied. And verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. So first off, we see that he longed for the Lord to follow after him. My soul longeth for thee to follow after him. Listen this morning, David lived for God. David looked for God. David longed for God. When he came to a dry place, when he came to a desert place, when he came to this place that's barren, he longed for God. Can I just remind you this morning, when you are in a barren place, when you're in a place of dryness in your life and desperation, depression, whatever it may be, you need to long for the Lord, because He's the solution. It's the Lord that's the solution. He followed after Him. He longed for Him. He longed for the house of God. He longed for the sanctuary. We see that in another part. He longed for the sanctuary. He longed for the house of God. Can I tell you, I always tell people, church doesn't fix everything, but it sure helps. And God intended for Christians to be in church this morning. There's multitude of people out there outside these doors today that are not in a good church or not in a church who claim to be Christians. And how can you claim to be a Christian when you don't long for the things of God? Hello, I'm not talking about the ones that are sick or had to work or whatever. I'm saying if you are a Christian and Jesus Christ came and He established the church, He started His church, and the Bible says He loves the church and gave Himself for it. By the way, things that Jesus loved, we ought to love. I mean, if Jesus loved the church, we ought to love the church. And when we talk about longing after God, when we talk about soul thirsteth for Thee, David absolutely was considering and thinking about the sanctuary. I just want to remind you this morning, we need this place. We need this place. We need to meet here with God. We need our church family. We need that support and care and encouragement and sometimes provoking. We need that sometimes. We need church family that'll love us and support us. We need this place. And David understood that. Can I remind you again, the dry land or this barren place that David was in. So you got to get a picture in your mind. It's hard for me. I've been there. I know the hells just got back from there here recently in Israel. And so David is fleeing Jerusalem and he's going down to Jericho. That's where he's headed when he's fleeing Jerusalem. If you go down to Jericho from Jerusalem, you go over barren, rocky, just like you're walking in West Texas, and maybe a little worse. Just kind of picture that, except instead of it being flat, it's hilly and like the hill country. It's an amazing place, but that particular spot is very barren. It's the northern part of the wilderness or the desert, the Judean desert. And when you walk through it, it's unbelievably barren. Except now, it's amazing, the Jews have planted palm trees in that northern area of the desert. And they use, everybody stay with me, and they use gray water to water it with. In other words, they use the water that comes from their bathtubs and sinks to water these palm trees. And by the way, palm trees don't just produce coconuts. Palm trees produce dates and many other fruits. And it's amazing, through that northern, arid, dry place, that green and vegetation has come up, which is actually in prophecy that that'll happen. And can I tell you, it has happened. It's one of the prophecies about Jesus returning, that the desert become green. It's amazing what Israel has done with that place. But can I tell you, in David's time, there wouldn't have been green palm trees in the northern area of the wilderness in that desert, dry place. It would have been exactly what it was, a desert, barren, dry place. No water, no nothing, just desert. And as David's walking through there, he's thinking about God. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He longed for the Lord. I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a desert place, long for the Lord. Seek after Him. By the way, you'll find Him, because He says in Acts He's not very far from any of us. I'm thankful God never moves. We're the one that moves. God never moves. So we see that he longed for following after the Lord. He longed to see His power in verse 2, to see the power and Thy glory as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Again, referring back to that house of God, the tabernacle, the temple was to be built, but the tabernacle. Can I remind you this morning that God is all powerful? to see thy power and thy glory. David had seen the power of God. David, the little teenage boy, had defeated the bear and defeated the lion. And David, the teenage boy, had defeated the giant, Goliath. I mean, David experienced the power of God. He knew God was powerful. But I want to remind you that God is not just powerful, He's all powerful. And that God is completely in control of everything within your environment. Everything that is a part of you and your life and what you may be going through, God is in absolute control. And that God always has our best interest in mind. And as David flees Jerusalem and goes down to Jericho and comes through that barren desert, he knew God was in control. I want to tell you, I'm going to go ahead and remind you, David was leaning on the promises of God. He was standing on the promises of God. He knew that God had put him on the throne. Knew that without a doubt. It was very clear, very evident. Remember when Samuel came to David's house? You know, Jesse said, and brought all the other brothers before the prophet and the priest. And Samuel said, there's none of these. Do you have any more sons? And, oh yeah, I have my youngest out there keeping the sheep. Well, we're not going to eat till he gets here. Always liked that. He didn't eat till he got there. When David got there, he anointed David as king. He anointed the younger brother as king. David knew that God had placed him there and all the great acts that God had done for David. David was just simply standing on the promises of God, having experienced his power. There is a reference here, it says, to the sanctuary. The presence of God in that day was illustrated for them by the ark. When David fled Jerusalem from Absalom, two priests picked the ark up with the poles and came to David. Said, hey, we got the ark. Everything's great. If you go read it, David says, take it back. This is not where it belongs. It belongs in the house of God. I believe also David understood that the ark had no power in and of itself. The power belongs to God. Or else he would have taken the ark with him. Because at other times they did take the ark into their armies and other things. But David, I love it. David says in another psalm that God's not pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. David understood that those were all just pictures. That the one they rely upon, the one we rely upon, is the person, not the picture. We rely upon God, the person. Not the picture of the lamb, and not the picture of the tabernacle, not the picture of the ark. So David longed to see the power of God and to experience it once again. And then, not only that, but to experience God's love. Verse 3 says, because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. He understood God's love. He had experienced God's love in his life. In fact, he said, God's love is better than life. Can I tell you that? God's love is better than life. By the way, I'm going to experience his love throughout all eternity. I think this is probably what it's referring to here. God's eternal love. I like that when it's written, it doesn't just say his love. Notice what it says. But loving kindness. And when the Psalms mentions God's mercy, many times it mentions his tender mercies. I love the way it describes God's love for us, his mercy for us, his loving kindness. His loving kindness. God loves us. God loves us, and that love should produce praise in our life. No matter what's going on in our life, we should be able to look back and see God's power in our life. We should see God's love in our life, having already experienced his kindness, his loving kindness in our life, and that should produce praise in our life. To praise him, to acknowledge him, and to glorify him. Amen? But so many times we don't look back. We get discouraged in the moment, and we don't look back and remember the sanctuary, and remember the loving kindness of God, and remember the power of God. Amen? We don't. It's just human nature. We have a tendency just to be stuck in today and forget all his benefits. Then, not only that, did he want to follow after the Lord and see the power of God and experience God's love, but to pray and to serve. In verse 4 he says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. And this lifting up of hands is not necessarily this here. It's speaking of praying and lifting up the hands in service. What David is saying is here, I'm still going to be praying. I'm still going to pray to you. I'm still going to seek that relationship with you. I'm still going to seek and acknowledge that I need you. And I'm still going to serve you. Amen? I'm telling you, when you go through the times of trials and tribulations in your life, we need to remember and acknowledge Him and pray to Him. Acknowledge and pray to Him. Intercede for others and pray for others. And then we ought to serve Him. We ought to serve Him. Every person deals differently with pressure in their life. Everybody deals differently with pressure in their life. Everybody deals differently with the difficult situations in life. Some people eat. Some people drink. Some people sleep. Some people work. Some people, when they go through hard times, withdraw. Some people can't sleep. I mean, everybody's affected in different ways. But can I remind you that when you are going through a difficult, barren time, you need to pray and to serve the Lord. To stay busy for the Lord. We need to throw ourselves into the work of God. If you want to do anything when you're going through that barren land, is throw yourself into your relationship with the Lord, praying and remembering His benefits, and then throw yourself into the service of the Lord. I'm telling you, listen, it'll cure a lot of it. Be in church, faithful, praying, serving. It'll sure cure a lot of it. I'm telling you, you need it. We need it. We need to remember and pray and so forth. Witnessing and passing out tracts and serving others. You know, when you're going through a barren time, you're going through a difficult time, do something for your neighbor. It does something to the heart. I can't describe. It's just amazing. Do something for someone else. Well, preacher, if I take care of everybody else, who's going to take care of me? God said He would. Philippians says, you look on the things of others and not on your own stuff, that God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You take care of others, God will take care of you. So what I'm saying is, when you're going through a difficult time, when you're going through a depressing time, when life seems to have drug you down, listen, you're knocked out, but you're not out. You're knocked down, but you're not out. Pray to Him. Long after Him. Remember His power and the blessings that you have benefited from over the years. Serve Him. It's not a time to quit. David longed to see the Lord. Secondly, he worshiped the Lord. Verse 5 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with thy lips. David had God and understood that God kept him satisfied and God kept him singing. That's amazing, isn't it? To think about Paul and Silas being thrown into prison. And at midnight, they're heard singing. Paul and Silas in prison, in chains. And yet at midnight, they're singing hymns. How can you be in prison and still singing hymns? How can you be in the barren desert and still be singing? How can you be, thrown and chased after and having to flee the throne that you set upon the nation of Israel, and how could you still be singing? That's the Lord. That He satisfies. David was forced to flee and hide and beg, and yet still was satisfied and was singing. Tell you what, our relationship with the Lord is so important. When I remember thee upon my bed, he said, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David thought his thoughts were on God. His thoughts were on God. I said this earlier. You get your Bible out and start trying to read it, the devil puts you to sleep. He don't want you to read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? The devil hates us. The devil hates the Christian. Even the weakest Christian, the devil hates you. And the devil's out to destroy you. And here we see David thinking and meditating upon the Lord. In this disturbing time in his life, in this distressful time in his life, when he was in a barren desert, he is meditating on the Lord in the night watches at night. Just want to encourage you. Meditate upon the Lord. When your mind begins to think upon the troubles and things in your life, think about the Lord. Get your Bible out and read it. Help me out. Amen? Get your mind off of the negative things. Get your mind off of the stress and the other things in your life. Get your mind on the Lord. Long after the Lord. Worship Him. Pray to Him. Work for Him. Meditate upon Him. He'll change your heart. I love what it says here. It says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I don't have near the time to develop the subject because it's found a lot in the Old Testament. But in verse 4 it says, I'm going to read verse 1. Psalm 91, it's just a few pages over if you want to go there. Again, David's thoughts were on the Lord. David was meditating upon the Lord. He was, again, satisfied with the Lord. His contentment was found in the Lord. His joy was found in the Lord. It gave him joyful lips. He remembered Him when he laid down at night. He was remembering the Lord. So some people can't sleep at night because when they lay down, all they're thinking about is all the problems of the next day and whatever. Well, why don't you lay down and get your Bible and begin to read it? The devil puts you to sleep. I know that's funny, but he will. And I know sometimes there can be physical issues as well with somebody who has insomnia and those type of things, and certainly go to a doctor and get some help if you need to, but for the most part, it's just stress in the life. You can't get your mind to stop thinking about those things. Well, let me give you an illustration. If your mind is on one subject, how do you get it on another? It's called the replacement principle, right? So if you are thinking of the number three, everybody think about the number three. Seriously, kind of close your eyes. Think about the number three. Think about it. Draw it in your mind. All right, I'm not going to hypnotize anybody, I promise. Just draw the number three in your mind. The number three. Think about the number three. Now stop thinking about the number three. Don't think about the number three. Stop thinking about it. Don't think about the number three. It's hard to do when you start thinking about it. Especially if I keep telling you not to think about it. You continue to think about it. But if I tell you, okay, now think about the number 100. Think about the number 100. Everybody now think about the number 100. Everybody think about the number 100. Everybody think about the number 100 now. It's the replacement principle. You stop thinking about the number three because you replaced it with the number 100. So I know it's maybe silly, but it works. If you will take in your own life and in your own frame of mind, and as David said here, and you begin, when things are not going right in your life, and you begin to worship Him and you begin to meditate on Him, then you replace that with all the terrible things that are happening maybe in your life. And it will help you. It is a biblical principle. It's found right here. Meditate upon the Lord. By the way, he says in Psalm 1, you should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If you delight in the things of the Lord and delight in the law of the Lord, that He will bless you. So, he was thinking and meditating upon the things of the Lord. Now, Psalm 90, look at verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I love this. Now listen to this. Verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Under His wings shalt thou trust. David says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Why? Because I can trust Him. And just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings to protect them, so does God gather us and protects us under His wings. And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. A few years ago, I did a sermon series on trust. Probably none of you remember it. But if you go through the Psalms, next time you're reading your Bible through, we ought to do that, amen? and you read through the book of Psalms, read through the book of Psalms one time just with the word trust. It's amazing how many times it's found. I marked it every time in my Bible. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We can trust him. He can be depended upon. Put our faith and trust in him. And David was simply saying, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to trust him in every area of my life. No matter that I'm in this place where there's no water, no matter that I'm in this place where it's barren and dry, I'm just going to put my, I'm going to praise him and trust him. Praise him and trust him. Listen, in the time of distress and in the time of discouragement, we can trust him. Then, not only did he long for the Lord and worship the Lord and meditate upon him, but he also clave unto the Lord. Look at verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Followeth hard after thee. This word, following hard, is the same word in Hebrew for cling. I'll give you an illustration. The same word, when he says, my soul followeth hard after thee, it's the same word for cling. It clings unto him. In the story of Ruth, in the book of Ruth, some of you can go home and read it. It's a wonderful story if you've never read it. We know that Ruth, we know Naomi's the mother. Everybody with me? Naomi's the mother. Ruth is the two daughter-in-laws. That means they married Naomi's sons. They left Jerusalem. They left Bethlehem. They left the place of promise. And the two sons end up dying in Moab. They died. The husband also died. Naomi found herself without a husband and without sons and with two daughter-in-laws. She says to her two daughter-in-laws, I'm going back to Bethlehem. I'm going back to my home. You guys can stay here with your families. Orpah, one of the daughter-in-laws, says, I'm going to stay here. But the story is, Ruth said, I'm not. Ruth said, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to go. I'm sorry. Ruth said, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to follow after you. And the word is used that Ruth clave unto her. That Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law, Naomi. She clave unto her. Entreat me, she said, not to leave you, nor from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, right? That's what she said. And she clave unto Naomi. And that's what David is saying here is, I'm going to cleave unto the Lord. I am following hard after him. I'm cleaving unto him. I'm clinging to the Lord. David drew closer to God. During his time of suffering, David drew closer to God. As he felt the protective wings of the Heavenly Father, he drew closer to God. As he meditated upon the Lord, he grew closer to God. As he worshiped the Lord and praised him, he grew closer to God. And as he got closer to God, he experienced contentment and joy and broke out in singing and wrote a song. Isn't it amazing? He clave unto the Lord. Again, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth thee. It's amazing how many people I come across who, when hard times come, instead of clinging to the Lord and cleaving unto the Lord, they run from the Lord. It's those people that I visit, and maybe they'll miss a few weeks or maybe in a few months, and maybe it's taking a little too long to get to them. I hate that sometimes that happens, but we get to them, I say, hey, where you been? Oh, preacher, just been going through a tough time, you know. Family's going through a tough time. You know, I had a hard time at work, got a demotion, and my wife got sick, and just all sorts of things happening. And my question is, well, man, we've missed you. Well, you know, preacher, I just didn't feel like coming to church anymore. And on the inside, I'm going, what? The one thing you should be doing the most of. If you're going through a difficult time, the place you should be is church. The place you're going to get help is church. The place you're going to get comfort is church. The place you're going to get encouragement from fellow believers is church. Amen. Why would you stop coming to church when you go through a difficult time? That's just the devil, pure and simple. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. And so when you go through a difficult time, he whispers in your ear, oh, you know, you're depressed. You need to stay home and rest on Sunday. No, you need to be in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you need to be in church. It's where you're going to get the help. Go to the great physician, amen. Go to the doctor. Get the help we need. And so David said, listen, when I'm going through this difficult time, I'm just going to follow after the Lord. I'm going to cling to Him. I'm going to follow hard after Him. Cleave unto the Lord. And can I just encourage you this morning, no matter what circumstance you may be going through, no matter what trial you may be going through, just cling to the Lord. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Don't leave off the spiritual things when you're going through a problem. They should become the most important things. David understood victory would come. Verse 9 and 10, he understood victory would come. He says, but those that seek my soul shall be destroyed. I love how many of the Psalms David says this. He'll say like, Lord, why do the wicked prosper? And then later down the verses, he's like, yeah, there'll be, God's going to take them out. I'm summarizing real brief, but God will have his day. By the way, if in this life we have sorrow, and if this life all we had was disturbing, desperate times, if that's all we had in this life, and yet for all eternity we get to live in heaven, this life is just a speck. This life is just a vapor that appeared for a little while and vanished away. Now, I don't believe God's going to do that to you necessarily and have you spend a whole life of just, you know, terrible things. But if that happened, heaven for eternity, that's worth it. I'll take that deal anytime. It's kind of like, you know, saying to somebody, hey, I'll give you $1 million if you'll give up your salvation. Why would you do that? That's stupid. I'm using the S word. Yeah, I know it. Because it fits in this instance. That's stupid. So, you know, 70, 80 years of having stuff and all eternity having hell? I just don't. By the way, you can't give up your salvation. Everybody with me? I'm just saying if you could, you know. Cleave to the Lord. Cling to the Lord. In those desperate times, in those times of just total despondency, whatever it may be that's going through your life, just cling to the Lord. He can be trusted. David understood that. He understood that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He understood that victory was just in sight. He understood that victory was just around the corner. It's kind of like telling your kids, we're almost there. We're there yet? Almost there. Just around the corner, guys. Just around the corner. By the way, our battle's spiritual. Remind you that we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but the rulers of darkness of this world. Listen, put on the whole armor of God. David looked for vindication. I've already alluded to this, but verse 11 says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies. What does it say? What does it say? Shall be what? Say it out loud. Stopped. I've read the back of the book and we win. Amen. You know, I'm going to get to see my mom again. Yeah. I'm going to get to see my papa again. I read the back of the book and we win. All this life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I just tell you, when you're going through a barren, dry, and difficult time, just long for the Lord. Cozy up next to Him. Worship Him and serve Him. When you're going through a difficult time, it's not the time to stop serving. It's a time to increase your serving and doing for others. And then lastly, cleave unto the Lord. Let's all stand. Hymn 157, Jesus paid it all. I like this old saying. It says, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. You know, so many times the devil, again, just comes to discourage us. He hates us. He wants us not to come to church. He wants us not to read our Bible. And I just tell you, man, his future is not bright. He'll spend all eternity in hell, in that bottomless pit. And let's be remembered this morning, be reminded this morning that we do have the victory in Him who gave His life for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for this wonderful psalm that reminds us, Lord, that even in a barren time, that we can experience Your love and kindness, that we can experience Your power and comfort, and Lord, that we can worship You and serve You. Help us, Lord, to cling to You. Help us to cleave to You. Help us to follow hard after You in times of barrenness. I pray this morning that there's someone here who does not know You as personal Savior. Maybe they've never accepted Jesus as their Savior. I pray today they'll get saved. I pray this morning for the Christian who may be suffering, Lord, that You would encourage them as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. In 157, Jesus paid it all, as we said.